HD Smartcast.
You're listening to a Hindustan Times production brought to you by HD Smartcast.
And I pronounce your name as Fangnon Konyak.
Pangnon.
It's Pangnon. Okay.
On this week's episode of On the Record, we have BJP's new MP from Nagaland, Pangnon Konyak. Now, this is a special interview because of the fact that Nagaland has never had a woman MP in the Rajya Sabha. In fact, the last time it had any parliamentarian, a woman parliamentarian from the state that was in Lok Sabha, was 4 decades ago. And to this date, they don't have a single woman in the state assembly. So here's my conversation with Pangnon Konyak about her education in Delhi's Gargi College and what led her to the BJP.
Pangnon Konyak, thank you so much for speaking with Hindustan Times. I want to start by asking you to tell us a little bit about yourself, because you know you're from Nagaland, which to a lot of people sounds very exotic, one of the northeast states, and also the fact that you know we rarely have politicians and women coming from the northeast. So tell us a little bit about your political journey.
Ever since my school days and college days, I was always involved in student union activities. And later on, after passing out my graduation, after my master's, I came back home and then I got involved with the students' union of my community and with the women organizations. So it was a little bit of a social work of activism. And then I got involved in politics. So initially, I did not join any party, but then it was more of like supporting one candidate, working for it. Later on, I decided that if I have to be in active politics, it's better that I join a party. And so, in 2017, after much thought and deliberation, I joined BJP. After I joined BJP, I served as the State Mahila Morcha General Secretary. And in 2020, I was appointed as the State Mahila Morcha President.
What drew you to the BJP?
See, BJP as a party, the fact is that I was interested in joining a national party only because there's much more scope for learning, I believe. So instead of a regional party, I chose a national party. And then seeing the way BJP has been functioning, the organizational setup, because in 2013, we had a BJP candidate from my constituency. So we supported him. So we could see the organizational setup, you know, the functioning. So that was interesting. So then I thought I'll join BJP because it had a very strong setup, organizational setup.
You know, what is really the headline that after you've been elected as chosen as the Rajya Sabha candidate for the BJP, the big headline everywhere is that you are the first woman Rajya Sabha MP from the state.
Yes.
First woman. And even before this, even a Lok Sabha MP came 35 years ago. Why is it, Pangnon?
In 1977.
Yes, in 1977. So I think before you were born, right? So I wanted to ask you, that's insane. I mean, before you were born, there was a woman MP from Nagaland, that too in the Lok Sabha. Why is it, Pangnon? Because, you know, you're the Mahila Morcha chief. Can you explain to all of us here, to the rest of the country, why there are such few women in politics from Nagaland?
We have a lot of women who are actively engaged in politics. But see, this time also, there was this Rajya Sabha. We had an understanding with our coalition partner that Lok Sabha will go to them and Rajya Sabha will come to the BJP. So if I hadn't put in my application, then I would not have been selected. But then I put in my application and somehow I was nominated for the party ticket. So we have a lot of women who are in politics, actively involved, but maybe women should also come forward and take the step forward instead of waiting for someone to push them. And Nagaland, the society, it's a patriarchal society, so decision making, everything, like, it's done by the men. The apex organizations, the decisions that they take, it's all the men who do it. So this patriarchal society mindset may also be one factor which prevents women from coming forward and taking that one final step. But we do have many candidate, women candidates, not many, but we do have some women candidates who come forward for the legislative assemblies, but assembly elections, but till now, no one has been able to break the ceiling, the glass ceiling. Hopefully in the coming election, definitely, because after my nomination and subsequently my election to the Rajya Sabha, we have had a lot of young women coming forward to join parties, you know. There is a lot of optimism. And I think this will also change here. There's a new trend for women coming forward and taking the final plunge, because they're already there in the whole electoral process. Just the final plunge, that hasn't been done. So I think it will change things.
As you're saying, the men take all the decision. And yes, the other terrible marker for Nagaland is that till date, since the history of Nagaland, history of the state, it doesn't have an MLA. There's no woman legislator.
Yes, which is very sad. And in the coming election, definitely, if there are women, capable women candidates, we are going to field them, we're going to support them. And coming elections, we will see that a woman is elected to the legislative assembly.
So, you know, can you explain to me, here I don't want you to speak to me as a BJP person, Pangnon, but as an activist. Can you explain to me what you mean by patriarchal? Like, give me an example, because, you know, you know that we see in the movies how women are getting empowered. Can you tell me how Nagaland is a little different? Like, how do men rule the world over there?
See, we have our customary law. Nagaland, we are a tribal society. So all the tribes, we have our own customary laws. And in our customary law, all the decisions are made by the men, inheritance goes to them, everything. All major decisions are taken by men. And side by side with the existing times, our customary laws also like go hand in hand. That is why till now, our society as though, of course, we do have women in the government sector, in the private sector, who are doing excellent work. But when it comes to the customary part of it, when it comes to, especially to politics, and in the customary side, yes, women have not been able to, you know, really take a seat in the decision-making bodies. But one trend that I see is that these things are changing. We do have communities now, societies coming forward and giving women space. So that is changing. Recently we had one women, we have our village development boards. So one younger lady was elected as the village development board secretary, which is a prestigious post in the village. So things are changing.
And I guess the Bharatiya Janata Party, because it gets a lot of women votes, they also looked for someone like you, looked out for someone like you, encouraged you, right?
Actually, when I put in my application, there was nothing as such. I was very interested, like I wanted to, so I put in my application. After I put in my application, the decision and the wisdom of the party, they decided to, you know, nominate my name. That is there, but putting in my application, that I did on my own. So it was not the party pushing me to put in my application. There were many applicants, so I had also put in my application. After that, I did not campaign, go around canvassing, asking the legislators, the panel and all to, you know, select my name, shortlist my name. I did not do that. But putting in my application, I did. After that, my nomination came about.
And how did your family react? Tell us about that.
Of course, very supportive. Very supportive. Very encouraging. Not only my family, the whole community. Everyone is very encouraged and very supportive. Majority of the people, especially the state people, I don't know, are so encouraged. And there's a lot of optimism now. So when I was nominated, what I felt was, you know, I felt very optimistic. There's a lot of optimism.
Can you tell us a little bit about your family? Like, you know, who they are, and are they coming to Delhi with you? Will they be staying with you in Delhi? Or tell us a little bit about yourself.
About my family.
Yeah, and you know, your what it involves coming from Mon. I think you're from Mon.
Yes,
now you'll be staying in Delhi at least during the parliament session. So yes. Tell us how life is changing for you.
Well, life is changing because see, there are like many more avenues and you know things for me to work. So there's a lot of responsibility also. So that way, life is changing. My responsibilities have increased. About my family, yes, definitely my family will be with me, and things are changing. I'm also yet to start on the work, and my swearing in is yet to be done. I'm waiting for everything to be over so that I can start work, because from day one I've been daring to wanting to start work. So once the swearing in and all the things that are done, then yes, definitely I plan to start work as soon as possible.
So, you know, you must be watching Parliament on TV. What kind of issues are you looking to raise about Nagaland, about anything else which is close to your heart on the floor of the House?
Definitely development in Nagaland, and which will happen very soon, because being from a party which has a lot of focus on development, definitely I'll look forward to that. And also there are many other issues that I won't be taking the decision alone. We have the state government, the duly elected legislatures. So we will discuss, and then the necessary issues for the state to be taken up in the parliament, I will take it up. We are looking for real change, and I hope that it will happen soon. Yes.
So what will change mean to you? Like, what do you think will make you happy? What kind of change will make you happy?
See, when you look at it, at the physical thing, development, definitely. When you look at it, at the mindset of the people, you know, there should be enthusiasm, there should be, you know, a positive outlook. So all these factors are there. And Nagaland is a very, you know, it has a young population who are educated. And so there is so much, like, so many things that we can do for our youth also. So definitely we, and Nagaland has a lot of, many things to contribute to the nation, yes.
You are actually familiar with Delhi, aren't you? You did some of your education
yes,
here?
Yes.
Tell us where you studied in Delhi.
I studied in Gargi College. I did my English honors there in Gargi. South Campus, Gargi College.
Yeah.
And then I did my master's from Dauladram North Campus.
Oh, so that's a very, that's a trajectory that so many people otherwise have taken. Now, I wanted to ask you, Bangalore, because, you know, one of the things that we hear a lot about is that people from the Northeast are treated differently. There is a certain degree of racism that is there. Did you experience any of that?
A little bit, yes, definitely a little bit. I was there in 97, 98. You know, I went to Delhi in 97. So definitely I experienced a little bit of the racism there. And you know, I find that things have changed a bit now when I go back to Delhi after a gap of so many years. People are a bit more, you know, there is a bit more of an integration. So of course, we cannot say everything is totally gone, but then there is a change. It is not what the racism and all the things what we experienced back then is not the same, you know, now.
Can you elaborate, like, what has changed?
You know, people know Nagaland. Initially, 97, when I said Nagaland, even my friends didn't know Nagaland. They thought it was another country. Now they know Nagaland. And they know that it's a part of India. Because they used to ask, which country are you from? He said, no, I'm from Nagaland. Which country is that? Where is it? You know, those things were there.
Ignorance.
Maybe. Now. So I used to think, we are there in the corner of the country. We know about, you know, Delhi, Mumbai, this, that. We know about their history. But they sit there in the capital and they don't know about us. I used to think like that.
You think that your appointment as BJP's woman MP from Nagaland, do you think all of it's going to somehow bring about change in the mindset as well, in this mindset?
Yes. Yes, definitely. Because in my own little way, whatever I can do, I will do to share about my state, you know, to discuss, you know, see. Like we said earlier, there is, but then these days there is not, you don't see that sort of ignorance which was there earlier.
True. There's one thing I wanted to ask you, Pangnon, is that, you know, yes. Nagaland, and you also must be a Christian. So how do you, BJP is known for its core Hindutva ideology, right? How do you mix the two? How is there, you know, that understanding and balance between BJP's Hindutva ideology it practices across the country, where many of its members speak up against beef consumption, to Christian faith, which is so much a part of the Naga identity?
See, for me, politics is politics and religion is religion. I don't mix the two. Firstly, and here, BJP, here we believe in the politics of development. So as a Christian, I'm a devout Christian. But when it comes to politics, then yes, I'm in the BJP. I don't mix the two. And people are very understanding and accepting about it. They accept it, yeah. Because, of course, at times we do have one or two voices which tend to bring out the religion card. But then, here, even in our state. So what we do share is that if there has to be criticism among political parties, then it will be good if we can try, you know, to make it into constructive criticism. Because at the end of the day, all of us, we're into the nation building thing. We are there to contribute for our nation. So even our criticism, if it is constructive, then it will contribute towards something good. But then when we tend to put on these final colors that you are now totally Hindu, you are this, that, then somehow the meaning is lost, you know. So for us, we believe in BJP as a party which is focused on nation building and which plays development politics. And we stick to that, we go like that here.
So you're able to compartmentalize in Nagaland.
Yes.
Because otherwise, you do understand, Pangnon, and you do understand my question in saying that the religion, it's not two separate boxes for the BJP. The religion is their core identity. It is political.
Ma'am, that is your opinion.
Sure. I understand.
Yeah.
Okay, final question. The other interesting thing about Nagaland, apart from not having women MLAs, is also the fact that they don't have an opposition. I wanted your views on that. Do you think that's healthy? And why, can you help us all understand how a state can be there without an opposition?
They've come together for a reason, which is a good reason. Why we do not have an opposition, see, the government of the day has given very clear statements on why they've come together. So it is for peace, and we are all for peace. So it is for a very good reason that they've come together.
Pangnon Konyak, thank you so much for speaking with Hindustan Times. I wish you all the best of luck for your new term. Thank you so much for taking your time. I know it's a very busy time for you. And I'll see you in Delhi.
Definitely.
Thank you.
So much.
Thank you. Bye.
Goodbye.
If you enjoyed this edition of On The Record, don't forget to write to us. You can contact me on Twitter at Sunetra C. And on Instagram, Ms. Sunetra, to tell me what you thought of this interview and if you'd like me to interview a particular person. That's it for now. Do like and subscribe and share this podcast. I'll be back again with another edition. Till then, goodbye.
This was a Hindustan Times production brought to you by HD Smartcast.
HD Smartcast.